now, the one who protects us all from prattling prognosticators and perfidious pundits.
I say, America, stay out the bushes.
Look for the union label.
And to secure these rights, governments are instituted among men, deriving their just powers from the consent of the government.
From my cold, dead hands.
I'm concerned that if we don't impeach this president, he will get reelected.
It's time for the Alan Nathan Show. Here he is, the longest-running nationally syndicated centrist host in the country, Alan Nathan.
Welcome aboard, everybody. Welcome aboard. I'm ever yours, Alan Nathan, the militant moderate. Thank you so much for joining us. If this is your virgin voyage, allow me to share with you our mantra. Folks, we want the Republicans out of our bedroom, the Democrats out of our wallets, and both out of our First and Second Amendment rights. We feel there exists this cavernous gap separating the two orthodoxies, and that it's a gap comprised of many degreed thinking people who can argue quite passionately in shades of gray. And to that end, each and every show we have fine guests to help best illustrate this point. Today is no exception. Also, if you wish to hook up with us on the web, it's www.alannathan.com. Don't forget that email address, alan@alannathan.com. That's A-L-A-N. Coming at you live and strong each and every Monday through Friday. At this time, don't forget the classic Alan Nathan Show, Saturdays, 6 to 7 p.m. And overnight Sunday mornings, 3 to 4, all times Eastern. We are indeed a Main Street Radio Network production. Please check us out at mainstreetradionetwork.com. Feel free to avail yourselves of our nascent but always robust Twitter and Facebook options that we have there for you. And of course, with great dispatch and alacrity, we love to thank our distributor, the Salem Radio Network. That's right, the Alan Nathan Show's entering its 28th year of national syndication, all thanks to you, reaching about 800 towns and cities across a couple of hundred radio station broadcasts each week. Again, all thanks to you. And by the way, I don't care if you're part of the authoritarian left or perpetually clueless right, please get out of the thought control business. Our topics du jour, as you may have heard, well, why can't Democrats understand that arguments must rise and fall on their merits instead of the dictates of their side over the other? Also, what led the socialist woke Democrats into believing that they should never have to defend their politics? If you disagree with them, it's an effrontery. It's an insult. Why? Because after all, to disagree with their agenda is apparently analogous to disagreeing with the goal in whose name that agenda has been proffered, which is nonsensical. I mean, by that measure, any schmuck can come up with any asinine agenda he, she, or they wishes to. And it must be accepted because, bingo bango, it is, of course, in the name of this laudable goal. It does not work that way. It has never worked that way, and it never shall work that way. An agenda is never validated by its stated goals. Why? Because that's the job of the agenda, isn't it? To validate itself by showing that it has the properties to achieve the stated goal in whose name it's been proffered. They don't get that, though. They just don't get it. I was reading recently some of the reactions that have been launched against Charlie Kirk. Reading a headline here in the Fox News, Bob Vylan, V-Y-L-A-N, responds to Charlie Kirk's assassination with, quote-unquote, rest in piss comment during his show. Now, it's either villain or Vylan. I was not going to say V-Y-L-A-N. I have to confess, I don't even know if I recall hearing about this guy. It seems vaguely familiar. But he made these inflammatory remarks at an Amsterdam concert shortly after Kirk was gunned down at the university in Utah. And he said, I want to dedicate this next one to an absolute piece of SH blank blank of a human being. He said he said that the pronouns was slash were, because if you talk shh, you will get banged. Rest in piss, Charlie Kirk, you piece of blank 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 blank. And apparently the crowd cheered in approval. Now, I found this paradoxical because only a few days earlier in London, one of the most red cities you could ever hope to avoid, and I love Great Britain. I lived there for a while, especially Southwest Wales. Wales is phenomenal. But Great Britain is a country that I love, and I've been saddened to see, crestfallen to witness, how hardcore to the left London has fallen. But even in that left-wing city of London, you had thousands upon thousands of people come out in showing support and affection for Charlie Kirk able to see beyond the venomous rhetoric that's been put out as if it has any reflection of who he's all about. But I'm thinking to myself, look what this idiot is saying. He says, because if you talk shh, you will get banged. That's the crux of his point. He says, because, Charlie Kirk, if you talk SH blank blank, you will get banged. Does Bob Vilen understand that by his own measure, he is indirectly condoning his own similarly executed end? Because people could easily say, hey, Bob, you're talking SHI blank. So if, as far as you're concerned, when others talk SHI blank, they should be banged. Then how do you know you're not setting yourself up for that same untimely end? These people are unhinged. They really don't understand that this is a universe of reciprocity. They don't get to do things in one direction and not have it come back. Same thing goes for the celebrity, Hannah Einbinder. She was accepting her Emmy, and she delivers this message. This from the Rolling Stone. This is how they reported it. Hannah Einbinder used the Emmy stage to deliver a powerful message of support for the people of Gaza and those affected by the Trump administration's attacks on migrants. There is no attack on migrants. There is the corralling of illegal immigrants and getting them out of here. Migrants are perfectly legal. They're here as migrants, like immigrants are perfectly here legally because they're immigrants. Immigrants and illegal immigrants are not one of the same as a matter of language. Unless, as I've said before, language is no longer tethered to the meanings of the words that comprise it. Wake the F up. Stop sounding so intellectually bereft and academically impoverished, you cerebrally maladroit asshats. Wake up. Understand language. There's a difference between immigrant and illegal immigrant. Just as there's a difference between a licensed driver and an illegal driver, okay? Anyway, they go on to say, while accepting her award for Outstanding Supporting Actress in a Comedy Series for her role in Hacks on Sunday night, Einbinder took a moment at the end of her speech to deliver a political message. After a comical speech about convincing herself that it was cool not to win after so many years, Einbinder, who wore, and she wore this t-shirt, blah, 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 this is what she says, quote, finally, I just want to say, go Birds, F ICE, and free Palestine. Of course, she used the entire, you know, fornication under the consent of the king thing. But finally, I just want to say, go Birds, F ICE, and free Palestine. The Birds mentioned was, of course, a nod to the Eagles who defeated the Kansas City Chiefs earlier on Sunday. But anyway, go Birds, F ICE, and free Palestine. Free Palestine? Really? Really? Do you even understand what you're talking about? Columnists like Shadi Hamid out of the Washington Post said the same thing. He said, when talking about Israel defending itself, it says, this is what happens when a country, Israel, believes it operates by different rules than everyone else. End of blurb. No, no. Those believing they get to, quote unquote, operate by different rules than everyone else are those insisting that Israel doesn't have the right to pursue the monsters who unilaterally slaughtered 1,200 of their own people on October 7th, 2023, you schmuck. He and Einbinder don't seem to understand something about Israel. That slaughtering included the raping and butchering of little girls while making their parents watch before subsequently getting butchered themselves. You know, it's troubling how the Democrat punditry and entertainment classes have devolved into being these slogan followers instead of knowledge seekers. They keep, for instance, and this is the core of their idiocy, they keep insisting that Palestinians stop being occupied while not realizing that Palestinians believe that Israel's very existence equals that occupation. We're not talking about a little patch of land that they want for themselves and then everything will be fine. No. As far as they're concerned, Israel's very existence equals occupation. So accordingly, Palestinians hold that the only acceptable Palestinian state in exchange for peace is the one that completely replaces the state of Israel. Hence their mantra, quote, from the river to the sea, Palestine will be free. I mean, everything between the Jordan River and the Mediterranean Sea is Israel. And you know what? Most countries are resistant, very much so. Most countries are resistant to peace being contingent upon their own nation's complete demise. You know, some countries find that a skosh off-putting. Oh, okay. So we can have peace, providing I stop existing. That's not going to happen. More on this upon a return. You're listening to The Alan Nathan Show right here on the Main Street Radio Network. Going to be right back.
This summer's heat waves brought higher UV indexes across the country, and that's cause for concern. Dr. Raza Bukhari, CEO of Medicus Pharma, explains.
90% of non-melanoma skin cancers are related to exposure to ultraviolet radiation from the sun.
Even with regular use of sunscreen, high UV rays can cause significant damage. That's why getting a professional skin check could save your life. And new treatments on the horizon are poised to revolutionize the way skin cancer is treated.
We are currently in phase 2 trials of a non-invasive skin cancer treatment called SkinJet. This small microneedle transdermal patch provides a relatively painless, cost-effective treatment for basal cell skin cancer. So far, in our interim analysis, more than 60% of patients achieved complete clinical clearance.
For more, visit medicuspharma.com.
Summer's easy mornings are behind us, and now it's back to the school day rush. Parents know the scramble all too well, trying to get everyone out the door while finding something quick, tasty, and reliable to take on the go. That's where Mott's soft-baked, apple-filled bars come in. Unlike crumbly snacks that leave a mess in the car or all over the kitchen, these apple-filled bars bring soft-baked goodness and easy cleanup for active families with busy back-to-school routines. Made with ingredients parents can feel good about, like real fruit and whole wheat flour. Mott's soft-baked apple-filled bars come in delicious kid-approved flavors like apple, strawberry, and blueberry. Whether it's breakfast, part of a school lunch, or just an afternoon bite, they're a snack the whole family will love. Mott's soft-baked apple-filled bars are available now at retailers nationwide. To learn more or to find them near you, visit Mott's.com. All three flavors of Mott's soft-baked apple-filled bars are made with apple puree. See packaging for complete list of ingredients, not intended to replace fruit in the diet.
Adopt US Kids presents Multiple Choice Parenting.
Your daughter just had her first breakup. Do you A, put yourself in her shoes?
How could he do this to you? And for Sheila, she has split ends.
B, console her.
Oh, sweetie. This is going to happen a lot. 4, maybe 5 more times before you get married.
C, take charge.
Got to get this all straightened out. Give him a little talking to man, mano a mano.
Hey, Steve. It's now a good time?
No? Okay, no problem. Bye.
Or D, help her find a new boyfriend.
I know a great place to meet boys. The internet. Nice, single boys. Never mind. How about some ice cream?
As a parent, there are no perfect answers. But you don't have to be perfect to be a perfect parent. Thousands of teens in foster care will love you just the same.
For more information on how you can adopt, visit AdoptUSKids.org. A public service announcement from the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, AdoptUSKids, and the Ad Council.
The mission of Paralyzed Veterans of America is clear. Accessibility. Veterans who have served and sacrificed the best of themselves deserve access to the best our country has to offer. Access to meaningful employment. Access to the veterans' benefits they've earned. Accessible homes and vehicles. And access to every part of their communities. With PVA staff working inside VA hospitals, no other veterans organization has provided more real-time, ongoing support for paralyzed veterans and their families. PVA is proud to serve veterans across all branches, all generations, and all conflicts. Our nation's heroes fought for your independence. Join PVA in fighting for theirs at PVA.org.
We'll be right back. not appear out of a vacuum. They were sent here by the president with words such as a cry to fight like hell. Words matter. Truth matters. Accountability matters.
People don't have any intention of saying something that's going to lead to something dangerous, but we cannot take responsibility for the minds that are out there and how they hear it.
That was Nancy Pelosi sharing with her, all of us a bit of her schizophrenia. I'm ever yours, Alan Nathan, the militant moderate. Once again, this is The Oasis for those who have an aversion to the left, right, black, white, two-dimensional approach. First, you were hearing then-House Speaker Nancy Pelosi in 2021 saying because Trump had spoken passionately against the results of the election that he believed had been fraudulently realized, that the expression of those sentiments being conveyed as passionately as they were the reasons why we had a riot on January 6th versus the fact that some people just should better control themselves when hearing words that get them excited. No. As far as she was concerned, Trump was accountable for it. However, when it comes to Charlie Kirk's assassination, despite Tyler Robinson having been poisoned by the, if you will, turbulent and inciting rhetoric of the left, that the left has no accountability for what he subsequently did after hearing that brainwashing rhetoric. Now, as far as I'm concerned, you have to have a consistent policy. Either people should be allowed to say what they want to say and not be accountable for the way folks can't restrain themselves after hearing those words, or B, they are to be held accountable for the way folks cannot restrain themselves after hearing those words. You can't have a principle applied to one applied differently to another. It makes no sense. Now, as far as I'm concerned, free speech is free speech. Say what you want. But there is such a thing as inciting people to violence. But it's not just by sharing with them information that they don't like hearing. It is by a call to arms, if you will, a calling for violence. And we have heard the left actually call for violence. It has been very, very direct. We've heard it over and over and over again. Now, before I get to my illustrious guest, I want you to hear this clip where you have everybody from Nancy Pelosi to Donnie Deutsch of MSNBC to Congresswoman Ayanna Presley to then-CNN host Chris Cuomo to Samantha Bee to former Attorney General Eric Holder. It goes on and on and on right to the end where you're going to hear a liberal actor, Johnny Depp, calling for Trump's death indirectly, and then Rick Wilson, a never-Trumper, an ally with the left, and also a writer for the Daily Beast, calling for Trump's death quite specifically. Clip number three. James, if you please.
I just don't even know why there aren't uprisings all over the country, and maybe there will be.
People need to start taking to the streets. This is a dictator.
You know, there needs to be unrest in the streets for as long as there's unrest in our lives.
Enemies of the state.
Show me where it says that protests are supposed to be polite and peaceful.
Do something about your dad's immigration practices, you feckless.
When they go low, we kick.
How do you resist the temptation to run up and wring her neck?
Biggest terror threat in this country is white men, most of them radicalized right up to the right.
I thought you should have punched him in the face. I said, even if you lost, he insulted your wife.
Yes.
He came down the escalator and called Mexicans rapists and murderers. He said, well, what do you think I should have done? He said, I think you should have punched him in the face and then gotten out of the race. You would have been a hero.
I'd like to punch him in the face. I said, if we were in high school, I'd take you behind the gym and beat the hell out of him.
Punch some people in the face.
When was the last time an actor assassinated a president?
They're still going to have to go out and put a bullet in Donald Trump, and that's a fact.
Rick Wilson at the end, they're still going to have to put a bullet in Donald Trump. That's a fact. These people are saying specifically violent things, encouraging specifically violent acts. But when one of their own kills at the behest of their rhetoric, all of a sudden we should separate the two. You cannot be the embodiment of what you project and still be taken seriously. We have assisting in the opining and analyzing none other than Jeff Dornick, founder and CEO of Pickaxe, the groundbreaking social media platform built on two uncompromising principles, freedom of speech and freedom of reach. He hosts the Jeff Dornick Show, and his newest book is the highly praised work entitled Following the Leader. Jeff, good to have you on board. How are you today?
Thanks for having me on. Been looking forward to chatting with you.
I got to tell you, it does strike me very odd that these folks would, on one hand, embrace one line of logic, while on the other hand, then rejecting it once it's no longer convenient. Your take?
Well, I mean, it's just evidence of the fact that that they don't actually have any principles, and that's the thing, that it's the end justifies the means, and whatever they have to say in order to accomplish those ends is, you know, basically is what they implement, and that's part of the problem here is that, you know, they've redefined words, they loosely define everything, they speak in overgenerality so that that way they can get away with calling people all sorts of awful names. I mean, you know, Charlie Kirk was a very, for the most part, he was a pretty moderate conservative. Like he wasn't, you know, fringe. He wasn't controversial. He was widely accepted by everybody from the alternative media to Fox News, and you know, he would go on lefty shows and all that kind of stuff. He was a pretty, from a ideological standpoint, he was a pretty tame person, but he was very strong, very vocal, and he was very articulate and very, very intelligent and very effective in what he was doing. But at the same time, mainstream media, including The View on ABC, you know, they would label him as a Nazi, or Turning Point USA as being a Nazi organization, and all these different kinds of rhetoric. And when you use that kind of rhetoric, now that's basically giving justification for political violence. Because if we were living in World War II era and we literally had Adolf Hitler and we literally had the Nazis, I think a lot of people would feel justified in taking out Adolf Hitler right there. So when you brainwash a certain segment of the population to actually believe that conservatives are the modern equivalent of Nazis, now you're giving credence to the idea, well, if they're actually Nazis, maybe we need to do something about it.
No, that's a good point. That's a very good point. And I think a lot of people are missing that one does lead to the other. Unfortunately, you have that mindset inconsistently applied by Democrats, depending upon whether they're on the receiving or delivering end. I was reading recently in the Washington Post, hundreds had signed an online petition urging UVA administrators to cancel Charlie Kirk's appearance, arguing that his quote-unquote divisive rhetoric undercut campus values. It was one of the most politically fractious time many students could remember. This is the Washington Post. And I'm thinking to myself, wait a minute, you know, too frequently Democrats define quote-unquote divisive rhetoric as dissent against any of their positions, which places a sort of manufactured moral pressure to censor all political disagreement. And their formula is, I think, this straightforward 2,400-year-old Athenian sophistry saying, you know, well, since our agenda is in the name of this moral goal, any opposition to that agenda must be viewed as opposition to said moral goal. That, of course, is regardless of whether or not there's a factual linkage between the two. I mean, this specious template needs to be repeatedly exposed just to ensure its continued weakening. I'll tell you what, Jeff, if you can, buddy, hang on the line for just a moment. Folks, you're listening to The Alan Nathan Show right here on the Main Street Radio Network. Going to be right back.
Tilly Ramsey, daughter of celebrity chef Gordon Ramsay, is ready to step out of her father's shadow into her own culinary adventures with the new series Dish It Out, premiering Friday, September 5th on Prime Video. A passionate foodie and aspiring chef, Tilly celebrates online trends and family recipes, alongside some surprise visitors in the kitchen, including her parents Gordon and Tana Ramsay, Gillian Jacobs, Frankie Grande, and many more. In each episode, Tilly receives a mystery box from chefs, influencers, and home cooks from around the world, and uses the ingredients to cook a dish for a studio guest. Tilly Ramsay.
I've sat next to my father in the kitchen for my entire life and wanted to become a chef for as long as I can remember. Now that I've graduated culinary school, I'm ready to sharpen my skills and create exciting new dishes for my guests, and will be sure to have plenty of fun along the way.
Don't miss Dish It Out starting this Friday, September 5th, only on Prime Video.
Circle K is expanding its membership rewards program, Inner Circle, throughout the Lone Star State beginning on Wednesday, September 3rd. Free to join, customers can now become members to get fuel discounts, drink deals, and more. To celebrate, Circle K is hosting a Fuel Day pop-up on Thursday, September 4th. Customers can get 40 cents off per gallon of fuel from 4 p.m. to 7 p.m. local time. Inner Circle members will have early access starting at 7 a.m. Members can enter their phone number at the pump or inside a checkout to access the savings. First-time members can save 25 cents per gallon of fuel on their first five fill-ups and have access to discounted drinks. Members also get personalized offers and exclusive deals throughout the year. Sign up at CircleK.com/inner-circle or enter your mobile number at checkout to enroll via text. Learn more about the Fuel Day on Thursday, September 4th at CircleK.com/TX-Fuel-Day.
Hi, it's Practical Polly's radio show. If you're just figuring out that healthier cooking oils are better than solid fats, you may be asking, now what am I going to do with all these tubs of lard? Ever had one of those moments when your favorite skinny jeans feel too tightly tailored? Generously apply lard to your hips and thighs and those fancy pants will slide on like a dream. Or here's a family-friendly idea. How about making your yard into a lard fun park? Frost your driveway with a nice thick coating and give those kiddos a downhill thrill no matter what time of year. Having a bad hair day? Yep. A little lump of lard can tame your flyaways in a jiffy. So there's no need for that lard to go to waste or to your waste. But get your best heart-healthy trade-up with healthier oils like canola, olive, or other vegetable oils, which can actually lower your chances for heart disease. Now that's a tip worth keeping for life. Learn more at heart.org/facethefats. Canola Info is the national supporter of the American Heart Association's Face the Fats campaign.
Steven.
Who said that?
Me, down here.
What are you, a yellow booger?
I'm a banana slug, Steven.
Well, what are you doing in my room?
I'm your sense of adventure. Don't you remember me? Don't you know that we miss you?
Miss me? Who misses me?
You know, all your friends in the forest. The trees, the pond, that little fort that you made out of branches. We all miss you.
Mom took me to the forest last year.
I'm a slug, Steven. It took me a long time to get here.
Oh, I guess that makes sense.
The forest is not that far away. Have an adventure today. I'm sure your mom would take you.
You're right. I should get out. I want to have fun. Play in puddles, catch frogs, and climb trees. Hey, Mom!
Yeah, hon? Steven! What is that in your hand?
It's my sense of adventure, Mom. It's telling me we need to get out of the house and have some fun in nature today.
Come to the forest where the more adventurous you lives. Check out discovertheforest.org for cool places nearby. Brought to you by the U.S. Forest Service and the Ad Council.
No word in the English language is less convincing than probably.
Are you sure we should get matching tattoos on our first date?
Sure. We'll probably stay together.
Probably? It's been 23 minutes since I ate. I can probably swim.
You should wait 30 minutes.
Okay, now tell me what to do. Cannonball! Cramp! Oh, I have a cramp. I can probably hit the green from here. Probably. Can I get a mulligan?
Ready to go?
Hey, are you sure you're okay to drive?
Yeah, I'm pretty sober. Yeah, I'm probably okay.
Probably okay isn't okay, especially when it comes to drinking and driving. If you're drinking, call a cab, a car, or a friend. Buzz driving is drunk driving. A message brought to you by NHTSA and the Ad Council.
Welcome back, everybody. Welcome back. Here's Alan Nathan, militant moderate. Once again, this is The Oasis for those who have an aversion to the left, right, black, white, two-dimensional approach. Covering a number of things right now. And boy, I'll tell you, these days all you got to do is put a blindfold on, throw a dart, and no matter where it lands, you're going to hit something newsworthy. Big thing, though, I want to know is why can't Democrats understand that arguments must rise and fall on their merits instead of the dictates of their side over the other? Why is it so hard to grasp that? Also, what led, or what has ever led, socialist woke Democrats into believing that they should never have to defend their politics? I mean, Charlie Kirk's assassination drills this point home more than ever. It really does. First of all, as you can often read, they're claiming that Trump supporters are illegitimate because, well, they're supporting a person convicted of multiple felonies and that we need to get rid of capitalism because it's a tool of the fascists. Are they out of their minds? I mean, can they be any more functionally illiterate? First of all, a felony conviction is only as credible as the process delivering it, all right? And all of these cases against Trump have been falling apart under the weight of their own exposed, lawlessly politicized prosecutions. Falling apart under the weight of their own unsubstantiality. Also, by the way, why are you so upset with capitalism? It's just business. It's just commerce. To be anti-business versus pro-business is really to be anti-career choice, because without commerce, without business, careers cease to exist. Capitalism is nothing but the creating, selling, and buying of goods and services for the purposes of providing for wants and needs. I do something well, it resonates with the market, I'm self-sustaining. If I do so well that I can't keep up with demand, guess what? I have to go out, get help, which manifests into expanded employment, allowing there to be that many more people, making that many more dollars, who then have to turn around and pay that much more in taxes to the Treasury so we can continue supporting all these social safety net programs that we hold near and dear. Capitalism is the little guy's best weapon, at least conventional capitalism anyway. It's the little guy's best weapon against authoritarian government, which is usually in the form of socialists or communists. It's the best weapon actually against both authoritarian government and vulture capitalists who work in alliance with socialists to keep everyday people subdued. You see, what it is financially self-reliant folks are the ones most protected from each, because they can better resist the, if you will, giveaways for compliance leverage from the socialist, as well as the stay-in-your-box limitation from the vulture capitalist. They don't like people intruding upon their if you will, empires, because they know that financially successful people can turn into millionaires and millionaires can turn into billionaires. They don't want that. And I think on balance, people understand that equal opportunity for success has never meant a right to equal success. And again, whether in life or argument, success must rise and fall on its merits. And of course, that process cannot happen without free speech. And to that point, we have assisting in the opining and analyzing Jeff Dornick, once again, founder and CEO of Pickaxe, the groundbreaking social media platform built on two uncompromising principles, freedom of speech as well as freedom of reach. Once again, he hosts the Jeff Dornick Show, and his newest book is a highly praised work entitled Following the Leader. Jeff, appreciate you sticking around. Am I wrong in saying that the Kirk assassination has brought to the fore more saliently than it has in a while how quickly people wish to tamp down free speech in the name of some greater laudable goal? However, on the left, when one of their own is caught, with speech that has precipitated a horrible event, well, then we should stop trying to connect the speaker with the listener. Jeff.
Yeah, I mean, the reality of it is, again, like I said in the last segment as well, to the left, the ends justify the means because they have no principles. And that's the thing. They will use any justification in order to further their agenda. As we saw during COVID and during the Trump administration the first time around, the left would use censorship in order to push their narrative and suppress the truth. And then now they claim, you know, a tax on free speech if we're calling for people that are celebrating the death of Charlie Kirk to be fired from their jobs. And so, you know, again, they will play both sides of the coin always, as long as their agenda is being furthered. And they're willing to hijack everything. They're willing to manipulate the situation in order to push their agenda. But the thing is that for them, they're not basing everything on their principles. Whereas conservatives in general, we have principles, not all the time, but a lot of times, the trend is that we have certain principles and that we can articulate them, we can debate them. That's why Charlie Kirk was so effective, is that he would debate the issues and he had certain principles that he actually believed in. The left, they don't have principles. And I think a lot of it is because they're a very atheistic, anti-God platform and party and group. And so when you think about it from that perspective, they don't believe in morality. We believe in morality. We understand the idea of having certain foundational principles that are given to us by God that we're going to follow, something that's outside of ourselves. To them, it's literally just they're a bunch of animals that have no principles. They deny the very existence of God. They'll do whatever it is in order to have more power, and that's their standard operating procedure.
Well, to tell you the truth, look, I believe in God, but I'm not through any religion. I'm what they call deist. I'm what Thomas Jefferson was. I believe in God, but through no organized religion. That said, I will still find myself quite in concert with many conservatives who believe in the Constitution being as per an originalist understanding versus the living document theory. I believe in absolute standards. If you don't have a point of finality attached to a standard, it ceases to be one. And the left prefer to live in this fluid world. Now, thankfully, I believe the woke will be eventually put to sleep because they have this inverted burden of proof structure in all their arguments. I mean, and I think there's a limit to how long folks can take seriously the socialist assertions being endlessly predicated on what are really just other assertions with only shaming tactics used as their validation. In other words, I think most folks catch on to the difference between a genuine premise and the pretext pretending to be one. You see, with the left, through their strategy of shaming, these woke socialist zealots pretty much undermine the, well, primary moral measure of our right to choose our own individual paths. And the way they do it is they conjure these secondary measures of allegedly higher morals in order to leverage the replacement of the first. In other words, we've got to relinquish our priorities in favor of theirs or we're bad people. And I think by such a manipulative, inverted burden of proof formula, these authoritarians can always find a way to remove our free will. I mean, we were warned about this with Aesop's Fables, where we not, you know, a tyrant will always find a pretext for his tyranny. Or am I seeing too much into this, Jeff?
No, I mean, again, because of the fact that they don't have general principles, they're willing to be manipulative in any way, again, that it requires in order for them to further their agenda. And that's the problem. That's why it's like, you know, not that long ago, you know, the Democrat platform was basically the same as Donald Trump's MAGA platform. Like, you know, we got to shut down the border. We got to stop illegal immigration. We got to do X, Y, and Z. We get a good economy. And then all of a sudden, then it flips. You know, they're the same party, but a completely different agenda. But it's the same people that are running the show. And I think that goes to show that they're willing to do and say anything in order to have power. And on top of that, they're willing to accuse us on the conservative side and on the freedom side of virtually anything in order to push their agenda. You know, that, you know, anything that we say that they can twist and manipulate or take out of context in order to say that, you know, conservatives are Nazis, conservatives are white supremacists, conservatives are racist, conservatives are fill in the blank. And they will do anything they can in order to label us, so that way they can discredit the messenger without actually dealing with the principles. And again, as I say over and over and over again, the reason why they do this is because they don't actually have principles. They just have an end goal of getting them more power, centralizing the power, taking away freedom, taking away capitalism, taking away our American government.
And what they'll do is they'll characterize opposition to their agenda as being equal to opposition to the moral goal in whose name they say that agenda has been proffered. Therein lies the problem. You know, we're all for mom, apple pie, and togetherness. Here's our agenda to achieve it. If you oppose our agenda, well, then you're against mom, apple pie, and togetherness. No, schmuck. You've just not shown how your agenda has the necessary properties to achieve the goal in whose name it's been proffered. It's like with Barack Obama with the Iran nuke deal years ago. You know, we want peace. Here's my Iran nuke deal for peace. If you oppose my Iran nuke deal for peace, well, that means you want war. Well, that's syllogistically simplistic. You have to show how your agenda with this Iran nuke deal equals peace, and he could never do that. That thing had so many holes in it, it reminded me of a kitchen colander. I mean, it was amazing. That's why, no, people on the left, if you got an argument, that's fine. But you have to go through the process of proving things. Let your arguments rise and fall on their merits. Otherwise, it's like going to a ball game where one of the two team captains get to double as the umpire. Who do you think is going to win that contest? No. Arguments rise and fall on the merits. not the dictates of your side. Jeff, thanks for joining us, folks. You're listening to The Alan Nathan Show.
We have an active government relations program. They're very much involved in legislative work to not only improve the ADA, but to strengthen enforcement. The bottom line is a law with no enforcement is no law at all. But it's not just about legislative work. It's really just about public education. We want the general public, we want policymakers, we want business owners to understand that they have a role in knocking down barriers and making the world more accessible. We have an active campaign going on right now. Barriers still exist. If you go to our website, pva.org, you can find information about various types of barriers that are out there through our PSAs. We have a petition that we want to send to the United States Congress that calls for improved enforcement of the ADA. And ultimately, we just want to get everyone in the game. We want everyone to have a stake in knocking down the barriers that still exist, because we believe in accessibility for all. To learn more, you can go to pva.org/barriers still exist.
Protein plays a key role in maintaining overall health and is an essential nutrient for post-workout recovery and muscle repair. Registered dietitian Roxana Essani has more.
High-protein diets aren't just for athletes. Protein supports your immune system and helps you feel fuller for longer. Plant-based options offer a range of nutrients to support a healthy diet.
PB2 Performance is a plant-based protein made from real peanuts or almonds with no added sugar or artificial ingredients. Each serving delivers 20 grams of protein and can be blended, baked, or mixed into a variety of recipes.
One of my favorites is the PB2 Performance Peanut Protein with Dutch Cocoa. I blend it with dairy milk for even more protein, frozen banana and ice for a rich chocolate peanut butter flavor.
PB2 Performance is available in cocoa and peanut, and vanilla almond. To learn more and find recipes, visit pb2foods.com. That's pb2foods.com.
Dear John, I was hoping it wouldn't come to this, but you've left me no choice. I'm leaving. Uncontrolled high blood pressure is really serious, and lately you seem to really not care. I've been there for you since day one, and I know you think I'm going to keep ticking. But no, my friend, I can quit whenever I want. Why can't we get back to the good times, when we were more active and ate more healthy foods, and you checked on me every once in a while? Is that too much to ask? I don't want to leave, but unless you stop ignoring me, what else am I supposed to do? Remember, when I quit, you quit. Sincerely, your heart.
Listen to your heart and don't let it quit on you. Doing the minimum to control your high blood pressure isn't doing enough. High blood pressure can lead to a stroke, heart attack, or death. Get your blood pressure to a healthy range before it's too late. For help keeping yours at a healthy range, text PRESSURE to 97779. A message from the American Heart Association, the American Stroke Association, and the Ad Council.
You know that feeling? Like every door is closing and you just can't see a way out? Being unemployed, underemployed, or just out of school feels a lot like that. But when you find the right tools, suddenly, everything just clicks. Getting on that path may be easier than you think. A good place to start? Go to findsomethingnew.org. At findsomethingnew.org, you have access to resources that help develop new skills. Skills that will position you for careers in today's growing industries. From healthcare and manufacturing to cybersecurity and alternative energy. Plus, you can take advantage of online courses, certification programs, apprenticeships, and more. So you can take yourself from unemployed and uncertain to empowered and prepared for what's next. Find your path to a new career today. Visit findsomethingnew.org. A message from the Ad Council.
I'm Ben Affleck, and I want to thank you for joining me and supporting Paralyzed Veterans of America. Our vets need you.
I'm a quadriplegic. I'm definitely at risk with my diminished lung capacity.
I have MS. I'm in a wheelchair and I can't leave the house because I have a compromised immune system.
I'm very concerned about, would there be a bed for me? Would there be a ventilator for me? Would I be able to survive something?
It's just heavy. You know, it's a heavy moment.
This is a war. This really is.
Our veterans fought for us. Let's fight for them.
I am so grateful for the PVA. They're making sure that we have all of the food and supplies that we need right now.
We all got to help each other right now. We can't get through this by ourselves.
It's with profound gratitude that you're going to be saving our lives.
To find out how you can help, please go to helppva.org.
That's helppva.org.
Welcome back, everybody. Welcome back. Every year is Alan Nathan, the militant moderator. Once again, this is The Oasis for those who have an aversion to the left, right, black, white, two-dimensional approach. Absolutely delighted you could be with us. Well, we're asking why Democrats can't understand that arguments have to rise and fall on their merits instead of the dictates of their side over the other. And that when people disagree with them, that does not mean by default they're fascists. But that's what we're being told. And you got to wonder, what the hell led socialist woke Democrats into believing that they should never have to defend their politics? And that when people do compel them to defend their politics, that does not mean that their challengers are therefore by default fascists. It really is an amazing salient display of functional illiteracy to call somebody a fascist, like, let's say, Donald Trump or Charlie Kirk, because there's no connectivity between the term and the grounds to which that term must be tethered in order to have been accurately conveyed. There's got to be some connectivity. Fascists are against free speech. Democrats have publicly advocated against free speech. They publicly advocate for censorship in the name of fighting what they label as disinformation, while also censoring any challenge to their use of said label. Isn't that a maneuvered self-fulfilling prophecy with a catch-22 ending? We're shutting you down, and we're not going to let you dispute why it is we're shutting you down. How nonsensical can you get? But they publicly advocate censorship. Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez has publicly advocated for it. And she was asked, well, what about free speech? She said, oh yeah, free speech, but not for disinformation. Well, everybody who disagrees with one another does so because each believes the other to have been disinformed or misinformed. But that's never been grounds to shut people down. That's what a fascist does. A fascist is not somebody who challenges your agenda. A fascist is the one who says an agenda is not allowed to be challenged. Democrats have been embodying the very fascism they project while still expecting to be taken seriously. Are you kidding me? Really? But they'll do it. Now, you have free speech no matter what, as long as you're not knowingly inciting a riot. And inciting a riot is not sharing an impassioned belief with a large audience against your political opponents. You can say, I want to fight like hell to bring about our freedoms or whatever the hell it is you want to associate with the phrase fight like hell. But when you, like Maxine Waters, Democrat congresswoman, says, I want to take Trump out. Now, that's a direct threat. That is a direct threat. When Rick Wilson, never Trumper, an ally of the Democrats, writer with the Daily Beast, says someone's going to have to put a bullet into Trump, that's a direct threat. But when Trump said on January 6th, we need to fight like hell for our freedom, so I want you to patriotically and peacefully make your voices heard, quote unquote, that is not the comment of a fascist. That's the comment of somebody who wants to challenge agendas. So again, Democrats, a fascist is not somebody who simply wants to challenge your agenda. A fascist is the one who says an agenda is never allowed to be challenged. That's the fascist. And on this, before I get to my illustrious guest, let's have a listen to John Fetterman, Democrat senator from the great state of Pennsylvania. He's warning folks to have a better understanding of language before they spew anything. This was him talking on CNN's Inside Politics with Manu Raju. Clip 21, James, if you please.
Clearly, we've lost the argument, and a lot of the things we've really kind of really lost our connection with American voters. And I think we can't just be, well, Trump is always wrong, or that we're going to set the country on fire. You always can't forget that a lot of Americans happen to disagree with you. That does not mean that they are fascists or now they want to shred the Constitution.
When you hear some Democrats saying Trump is acting like an autocrat,
If you actually compare him to an actual autocrat, that is not just that. Now, last night, for example, people were protesting about, oh, that's the Hitler. You just don't ever, ever compare anyone to Hitler and those kinds of extreme things. And now look what happened to Charlie Kirk. We have to turn the temperature down. We can't compare people to these kinds of figures in history. And this is not an autocrat. This is a product of a democratic election.
So you don't think that Trump is at all shattering any of the norms of democracy?
He's definitely different, but that's what America voted for. I don't agree with many of these things, but that does not make him an autocrat.
A rather nuanced and cogent delivery from Senator John Fetterman. Anyway, without further ado, we have assisting in the opining and analyzing Craig Rucker, co-founder and executive director at the Committee for Constructive Tomorrow. He's here to remind us that Charlie Kirk will not be silenced. His memory will not be silenced. Craig, good to have you back. How are you today?
Well, thanks for having me on, Alan, and great monologue right there. Really appreciate it.
No, my pleasure. Listen, I didn't mean to eat so much into your time, but it strikes me that, if anything, those who thought that the removal of Charlie Kirk would diminish the conservatives' advantage, I think they're sorely mistaken. My understanding is that interest and recruitment for Turning Point USA has more than tripled. That would seem to have been an impact quite antithetical to those who were cheering on Tyler Robinson's killing act against Charlie Kirk. Would you not agree?
Oh, I would. As a matter of fact, we have at CFAC, the organization that I'm affiliated with, a collegians program as well, where we recruit young people, and that's also exploded. We work very closely with Turning Point on a number of things, often sponsoring events together on various campuses. And in fact, on the very day that Charlie Kirk was shot, we were doing a demonstration against Michael Mann. He's a kind of a climate alarmist on Rice University. And we were able to make an impact there, but it sent a chill through a lot of our students, realizing that the ante's been up by those on the radical left. And I will say, a lot of one of my concerns is people are saying both sides are doing it. Well, that's not true. Most of my liberal friends, when I tell them about censorship, they look at me and go, "What do you mean censorship? Everything we say, we never get censored." That's because they're not getting censored. You know, they will make been endemic on the far left for a while now to really go after your political opponents. It started with Sarkozy a long time ago back in France, Bolsonaro, Donald Trump. They're actually maybe Netanyahu. They're trying to arrest their political opponents in some cases. You're seeing the shooting, of course, with the president and now with Charlie Kirk. And even before this, there were some you had, of course, the Jason Aldean concert that things like that occurred at, and other.
You know what? These guys may want to have a care, because if memory serves, we got about 400 million guns in this country. And trust me, the vast majority of them are not owned by the gun controlling left. So have a care, my Democrat brethren. Have a care. Anyway, Craig Rucker, thanks again for joining us. Folks, you're listening to The Alan Nathan Show right here on the Main Street Radio Network.
The opinions you hear on the Main Street Radio Network are those of the host, callers, and guests, and not necessarily those of the station, Main Street Radio Network, its management, or advertisers. The information on the Main Street Radio Network does not constitute a recommendation, offer, or solicitation to buy or sell any product or securities. So please, consult a professional before investing. If you have any questions or comments about Main Street Radio Network, contact us at 703-719-0433 or at our website, mainstreetradionetwork.com.